Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. All right, so Monday morning when two different Washington officials showed up at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, each claiming to be the new acting director, almost every news story noted that one of them brought breakfast, boxes of donuts. The Bureau's general counsel ruled in that guy's favor, and later so did a federal judge. Now, I'm not saying donuts had anything to do with that. It was basically a power struggle between the CFPB and the White House, but there's no question that people love donuts. And here in South Florida, one of the founders of a very popular donut shop was just named to Forbes magazine's 30 under 30 list of entrepreneurs. They're right here in studio with me. Amanda Pizarro, along with her co-founder and husband, Andy Rodriguez of The Salty Donut. Guys, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
And by the way, congratulations. I mean, first of all, this is, you know, Forbes 30 under 30. That's 30 across the nation. When did you guys find out about this?
I found out about, you know, two weeks ago. I was just normal day, minding my own business. And then I get an email, you know, congratulations, welcome. And then only within another week, I get, okay, now we're going to have a list launch party. And everything's just been going so fast.
And you guys were working when this was happening. I mean, it was just like, you know, you find out, but you're too busy.
Yeah, it happens to us kind of all the time. You know, we're very put your head down and work kind of people. So it's sometimes hard to take a step back and realize like, oh my God, this is happening right now because we're so caught up in just the day-to-day stuff, you know. But it's amazing and we're so excited.
What does it mean for you when you think about it? I mean, all the accomplishments you guys have had in the time that you've been doing this, but to reach this level, you know, now you're getting national attention. You were a little bit before, but now it's a Forbes 30 under 30. What does that mean to you?
I'm really excited about it. I think that this is kind of step two for the Salty Donut, and it kind of has opened our eyes to, you know, I think that the country is wanting our donuts. I don't think now that it's just Florida. It's kind of opened my eyes that I think New York can accept this concept. I think LA can accept this concept. So I think it kind of is just launching us into that 2.0 salty donut. Just because even when people see our donuts, and then now that we're, you know, for the Forbes, it's just it legitimizes us basically.
You guys made a big step recently because I mean, at the beginning, it was out of a trailer.
Yeah.
And anybody who's had your donuts, they remember getting in that line out in Wynwood,
the baking sun,
just waiting, you know, and just hours, and this line just stretched and stretched, and now you've got an actual brick and mortar shop.
Yeah.
What's that step been like?
I mean, it's been a lot of learning. You know, we went from being opened 3 days a week for limited hours and selling out and it being, you know, we sold out, you know, whatever, to people taking it a lot more serious. When you've got a brick and mortar, they expect you to have the product for longer periods of time. And so now we have to deal with being open 6 days a week, being open at 7:30 in the morning. I mean, it was a lot of changes and a lot of things that happened basically overnight. So we understood that process. We've tried to make it as, you know, seamless as possible. And then now that we've got a really great grasp on that, it's time, like Amanda was saying, you know, to apply the same kind of idea we did here, to go to markets that have nothing like what we have, because there really isn't anything, and apply that to other markets as well.
All right. Where did this idea come from? Where did the inspiration come from?
It originated with our love of food. I mean, it sounds so cliche, but we really pride ourselves on being really big foodies, and being born and raised in Miami, both of us, Andy and myself, it's kind of sad to see your city not have all these kind of cool concepts that other cities have. I mean, I think Miami is a little bit slow in trends, like just things that are going on in the U.S. And so it just so happened that donuts was kind of the one thing that we noticed was in every city wherever we traveled, but not in Miami.
Amanda, tell me about one city that you've traveled to where there's just a food thing going on that was just your favorite.
Aside from donuts.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's kind of, I guess, not a trend as much anymore, but definitely I was a really big fan of macaroon ice cream sandwiches. Yeah, it's funny. I say it's not a trend anymore, but in Miami still hasn't seen a place like that, but they do like these giant macaroons and then put ice cream in the middle of them. So it's like a cookie ice cream sandwich on steroids.
Where did you find this?
In Southern California.
Oh, my goodness.
He needs to know right now.
Oh, my goodness. I'm just saying I'm planning trips. Okay, good. Wow. Andy, what about for you? What was something that you found somewhere that you don't see here? Or just, you know, one of your most enjoyed, you know, foods that you've consumed somewhere else?
Oh, man. You know, I love a great omakase sushi spot, you know, that doesn't have to be stuffy. So I want to go sit at a sushi counter somewhere, and I want the sushi chef to just give me whatever he wants to give me that is fresh that day that they bought at the market or flew in, you know? And that, again, is something very, I mean, almost impossible to find here. And if you do find it, it's extremely expensive and very stuffy. Places like Southern California, I can probably think of 10 places that you can go in, sit at the sushi counter and just say, you know, I want to do omakase. And they say, sure, let's do it.
Look, you guys know this area well. Why are we slow to catch up on some trends? What's the deal?
I think there's a lot of different reasons. And I think one of them is people execute at a level here that I almost feel is subpar to other cities. And by that, I mean, we'll get a place that is something that's popular in another town, and we'll get it, but the execution's so poor because I feel like they think the Miami consumer is not educated enough to know. And that's not the case. I mean, Miami consumers travel. They know what's good, but it's sort of like...
Or international.
Or international, but they have the cars that are dealt to them here. And I feel like people feel like they can do a subpar job here. But when you go to New York, when you go to Chicago, when you go to LA, if your concept is not hyper-polished and something really spectacular, you're going to fail, you know? And I think that's sort of the idea we brought behind it was polish the concept to something that would be amazing in any city and could take down any donut shop's quality and experience and lifestyle and brand and do it here, not do the bare minimum to get through Miami, you know?
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Andy Rodriguez and Amanda Pizarro. They are the founders of the Salty Donut. And again, as I mentioned, Forbes 30 Under 30 just listed them. That's a very big honor. Coming back to when you guys came up with this idea, you know, when did you know? Was it an aha moment? Was it easy to come by when you said, yeah, gourmet donuts? Or did it take time?
I definitely think it took a little time as far as like when we were kind of soul searching of like, what is the thing that we're going to do with our lives now? You know, Andy just left his last business venture and then I was still in school. So it took a little while to figure out that it was donuts. But then when we found out like it's going to be donuts from there before we launched, it was 2 years that we were developing everything. I mean, unfortunately, donuts are not easy at all. I kind of sometimes say like I love the business that I'm in, but if I could do it all over again and do like cookies or cupcakes or something that is not like
temperamental. I had somebody reach out to me the other day and they were asking for advice. They're like, we want to open up a little donut concept. It's me and my wife. We're from, I don't know where they were from. And I was like, I would love to give you advice. Don't do it. Unless you're willing to spend every single day of your life breathing, sleeping, eating donuts for 18 hours of the day. If you're prepared to do that, then it's so satisfying and so amazing. But if you're not prepared to do that, this isn't like a little side gig.
You have a business background. You have a marketing background.
Mm-hmm.
So how were you making the donuts? Who was making them?
So really early on, Amanda and I both, aside from having a passion for food, we both execute food technically from a making it standpoint at a very high level. I mean, we didn't go to culinary school, but we both are very amateur chefs. Like, we really know how to make things, and we really know how to make flavor profiles taste great, and we know when things are lacking contrast, when things are lacking texture, when things are lacking this or that. So for us, we hired a pastry chef when we first were getting open, and we really kind of had somebody that could execute the vision that we had. But we were in the kitchen pretty much every single day back then, mm-hmm. Making sure that everything was on point, both the way it looked, the way it tasted, making sure that the flavor development and flavor profiles were what we wanted it to be. And it was exhausting because a lot of things didn't work, and we had to go through so many different flavors. I remember making a list of like, remember it was like 100 flavors, and we ended up picking, you know, six to start or whatever, three.
Oh, I would have loved to be the taste tester for you guys.
My family was.
Yeah.
That would have been fantastic. But you know what? What are like some of those concepts at the beginning that you guys had?
There was a couple. There was like, what's a popcorn and porter? That was fun. It was a porter beer with caramelized popcorn.
Yeah.
You know, guava and cheese was something that obviously was really important to us from the get-go, being from Miami.
Oh, we did a Malta one.
We did. Malta and mariquitas. That was one that never really...
It didn't make it to the list.
All right.
That one never launched, but yeah, that was good.
What are some other ones that didn't make it that you thought might?
We did a matcha. That one was so funny. We did a baked, gluten-free, vegan matcha green tea donut, and we thought it'd be a great idea. I mean, matcha's great. It's earthy. It's beautiful. You can pair it with something like lemon, which gives it acidity and kind of helps cut. But when you actually put it together, it was just weird.
It was weird.
Earth, you know, toned from the matcha and the acidity of the lemon, but it was kind of brown, and it just wasn't very pleasant.
So we sold
it for about a day and said, yeah, let's not do that ever again. Didn't work for us.
So you brought in the chef to help you.
Yes.
And how long were you guys together? Because he's not with you anymore.
He's not. No, he was with us for about a year?
I think about a year.
Who was it?
It was Max. Chef Max was our opening pastry chef. We parted ways early this year. And then our executive, Sue, has been with us from day one, really. She stepped up, and she's got an amazing attitude. She's young. She's hungry, and she just fits our personality so well, because Amanda and I are both really young. You know, we're both really young. We like to operate. We're not a restaurant. You know, I like to call ourselves like a tech startup that just happens to make donuts. You know, we've got that Google, Facebook atmosphere within the company. We have a lot of fun. We have young people working for us. We believe in young people. And so for us, it was a really refreshing, really amazing thing to kind of mold together a team of people that aren't trying to open a restaurant. We're trying to make donuts a lifestyle and a brand behind it, and really be able to expand in a way that's not your typical food group style. We are a brand, we are a lifestyle, and we make the best donuts in the country, but that just kind of comes almost like in tandem with the brand, you know. And being able to build a team of young people to do that has been really fun.
Yeah.
And I just to mention too, by the way, is Max Santiago, I didn't get his last name in there. You know what? When did you guys know that you clicked with your customers? Because the lines, again, when you were in the trailer, especially, those lines went for hours and you sold out really fast.
Yeah.
But when did you know, like, we did it?
I think it was January. So we opened December 2015, and then January 2016, it was kind of when the lines started. And I think I noticed that, oh my gosh, like, people actually really care about us. They really appreciate what we're doing with our brand, our Instagram, our food, because the line was actually, I heard, it got to like an hour and 45 minutes. And, you know, and it's not, you know, even in January, Miami's hot. And these people are waiting there, and literally they comment, like, I'm baking in the sun, but I'm still getting donuts. And it's really flattering to see that, because honestly, I don't know if I would wait in a line for food.
Even for your own donuts?
No, for my own donuts, yeah. But for anything else, probably not.
I can't say I've been twice. And when you guys were in the trailer, and I thought I'd beat the line, I thought I was early. And no, I still had a long wait. That was quite amazing. What else is it, though? Because it's not like, you know, it's the modern age of marketing. You would know this better than any of us, Amanda, but what do you think it is? What is it, just word of mouth, or was it something I know Instagram's been big for you guys.
Yeah, Instagram has definitely been a really large market for us. I think, you know, it's been kind of easy for us because, yes, the product speaks for itself. It's beautiful. It tastes amazing. But it's kind of something that someone feels when they come to our shop. It's like, we like to say, like, our shop has a heartbeat. Like, a lot of places, it's a place to just eat and, you know, then you get full and you're temporarily satisfied. But for us, it's literally just, it's a place for everybody to gather and have fun. And we're very about, like, family oriented, and especially the fact that Andy and I, you know, started this when I'm 25 and he's 30. And I think it's like, we know what people want, and we're still a family owned business, actually. So I really try to push that, and very handmade and artisanal, because I think people really connect with that.
Yeah. And I think it's fun to see the reaction to the brand. Like, people come to the store to get the donuts, but they're also coming to the store to take a selfie on the brick wall that's got
Salty
logo. Yeah, the other day we were at Whole Foods and I was like, oh my God, that lady's wearing a Maple Bacon Change My Life shirt from the Salty, you know. And it's really fun. We get orders from people in Nebraska who are ordering coffee mugs from us. You know, it's so much fun to see people associating with the brand. And I think for us, it was from day one about you know, 50% was about the product, 50% was about the customer experience. We want to make people feel a certain way when they go to the shop.
Now, again, you just moved into your brick and mortar place, but what's the next step? Where do you see the Salty Donut going now?
You know, I think it's been very delicate. We've been approached with every opportunity under the sun, and we're so grateful for that. But we don't want to take any steps that dilute the brand or hurt the product. And for us, it's been making sure we grow organically, making sure we have a grasp on the processes so that the customer experience and the product never change. And we've been figuring all of that out. I think, you know, Miami needs another store somewhere to be more accessible so people don't have to go all the way to Wynwood. But I think after that, you know, it's time to go to a different market. And I think we had an incredible amount of feedback when we were in New York for a pop-up a couple of weeks ago. I mean, thousands of people showed up and they were all asking us, when's the store coming? When's the store coming? So I think New York's a logical market for us. I think Los Angeles is a logical market for us. And I think sooner rather than later, you'll be able to see company-owned, non-franchised Amanda and I showing up there, stores in some other markets as well.
I'm not going to let you go without asking you. I'm wondering if maybe this is a future donut down the road, but what is the ultimate donut item you want to put on a donut or in a donut? I want to know right now. Amanda.
Me, black truffles.
Black
She stole it from me.
Where is that in the line? When can we see this?
I don't know. I mean, I think very soon. We know even a local truffle hunter in Italy that we met on our honeymoon. So I really want to tie in that story and have him ship me some truffles.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm waiting for this one.
Okay. I'm Cuban. Amanda's Cuban too, but you know, we both are from Spanish descent. We love Spanish food. We love Spain. I want to do like Cinco Jota Jamón Serrano. Serrano ham from Spain.
He's
on a donut.
Savory.
I'm going savory. Not full savory, but I think our donut's brioche. It's beautiful. It's bready. I think it works.
Yeah. Before we close out here, though, how long does it take for you guys to have, you know, conceive of a donut idea and then make it happen?
About 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah. It's a lot of testing. We come up with the flavors, even draw images of it, what it would look like, the layers, test it out twice. Yeah.
2 weeks. I'm waiting for the truffles. Don't make me wait.
T-2 weeks.
Amanda Pizarro, Andy Rodriguez. They are the founders of the Salty Donut. And again, as I mentioned, listed Forbes 30 under 30 for people and foodies to watch. Congratulations again, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.